The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms. It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And this week is no exception. Today we're going to talk about misconceptions in dating, what we think they want from us versus what they really don't want. And that's when men and women kind of get together on the first few dates and are trying to impress each other. And sometimes they say things and do things that they think are going to have the response that they want, yet what it's causing is the exact opposite. And also, you know, things that women think men like that they actually don't. All types of stuff like that. The misconceptions between men and women when they're trying to get together. My special guest is the host and creator of Second Act TV, Silke Schwarzkopf. She's been on the show many times. I've been on her show many times. And it's all about sharing insights that we have learned from dating experts and from our own experiences out there in the dating world. And I think you're really going to enjoy it. And, you know, dating, you think it changes when you're over 50 in terms of it becomes a lot easier. You know what? In many ways, it becomes a lot more difficult. So buckle up. We've got a great show for you on Guys Guys Radio.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle, and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the Skin Comfort Formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show, and I'm delighted to welcome back one of our friends of Guys Guys Radio, a very special guest, the creator and host of Second Act TV, the runaway hit on YouTube, my friend and colleague on social media and YouTube, Silke Schwarzkopf. Welcome back to Guys Guys Radio. How are you?
Oh, thank you, Robert. I'm just great. I love the introduction. I didn't know I had a runaway show, but good for me.
It is a rocket ship. More and more subscribers. And I am delighted because you're so kind to invite me on the show on a regular basis. And we reach a lot of people, and hopefully we're helping them. So I thought, as we do every so often, return the favor, have you come on to Guys Guys Radio, because we're here to help, and we love to work with the over 50 crowd. And as we know, they have issues. There's a lot of single people over 50, some by design, others not so. And whether, you know, you want to get married or not when you're over 50, it's always nice to have somebody that you can hang with at least, and maybe more. So what we want to get into today is a little fun topic. It's about, we're going to do a list. We're going to start with the women, a list of things that men think women like, but especially about dating and relationships, but that many women actually don't like, or not at least in the way that men assume. These understandings can quietly sabotage connections, and it's a lot of fun. So we've got a list of about 10, and then we'll give you the guy's side also. And when we're done with this, and kind of flip the script, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So let's get started. You ready for the first one, Silke?
I absolutely am, Robert.
All right. Now, and this is based on Silke's personal experience, as well as all the folks she's interviewed, all the relationship experts she's interviewed on a regular basis on Second Act TV. So,
well, there seems to be a common theme in a lot of this, and that's why I think these are important to know. Points that seem so obvious, but apparently are not.
Absolutely. And you see my book in the background there, The Guys to Love, and it's all about somebody who wrote a book about men for women, because he didn't think that women really got guys the way we really are. And the good news is, the news is not that bad. So let's do that with a, you know, an eye to the positive, and let's see what happens here. So number one, drum roll, please. Over the top compliments about physical appearance. You know how guys, they love to, everybody likes a compliment, but many times guys are like, you look hot, or they're always thinking with not necessarily the head that's up here. And they sometimes say things that really are a little bit too overt. And, you know, women like compliments, but they don't always want compliments about their looks. So what's your perspective, Silke, about over-the-top compliments about physical appearance, where guys think she's going to be flattered because I'm going to tell her how sexy she is right off the bat?
An immediate turnoff. An absolutely immediate turnoff. And the reason is exactly for why what you said, you know, it's what, am I just a body? You know, a compliment, especially, okay, and this sounds maybe just a little bit arrogant, but when you're halfway decent looking, you also get that so much that it's like, okay, I've heard it all before. This guy has nothing more to say. It's almost insulting, actually. Because it's totally inappropriate. I can't say that enough nowadays. But I think as a rule, find a compliment that has nothing to do with appearance. And that is something that a woman really appreciates. You know, like, I love you, your energy is just, God, you're really funny. You know, I mean, something that isn't, whoa, you're hot. No, out of there.
Now, it's interesting. Everybody does love a compliment, though. So it's not a bad thing for a guy in the early stages of the relationship to give a woman a compliment, right?
It's not. Yeah, but it's sexy. And I mean, that already implies more than, you know, just getting to know each other. I mean, let me feel like you want something more than sex. I mean, that's, you know, it objectifies a woman. And I normally don't, I'm being, you know, somewhat strong in my answer here, because it really can be a huge, huge turnoff to where you just want to roll your eyes. And just with a little bit of thought, you can give a compliment that truly means something.
Now, what if it's about, it's not necessarily sexy, but it's like, oh, I love the way you did your hair today, or I love your bag. Now, that's kind of a weird one. Or I love those shoes. Where'd you get those shoes? Or is there a way to dance around the issue without being actually sexually oriented?
Yeah. I mean, if you, first of all, be genuine. If you really like my bag, great. That is not, I think you said it right, Robert. It's that sexually oriented is what can be a huge turnoff. And women really don't like that.
So, because sometimes if I'm speaking to somebody and I look at people's like necklaces or jewelry, like I like silver. I like that silver necklace you have on and a medallion. That's fantastic. So if I complimented you on that, that's not a, to me, it's not a sexual thing. I like tasteful women who pick out tasteful jewelry, I think, is a real skill. And I like that. And I like to wear a necklace. I got my R on today, and I think it's a cool thing. So to me, that doesn't seem like a sexual thing. However,
it's not.
Good.
Go ahead.
So, however, I think the greatest compliment a man can pay a woman is calling her by her name, Silke.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That, you know what, that holds true in almost any interaction with people. When you say somebody's name, it's like, yeah, you draw them just that much closer. So yes, I think you're absolutely right. That's a huge, I don't know if is it a compliment or just an acknowledgement that draws you closer, that actually establishes a connection faster.
Absolutely. I think it works both ways. I think everybody loves to hear the sound of their name, whether it's subconsciously or whatever. But as soon as you hear your name, it's like, oh, I'm being recognized. That's good. Let's go to number two. Another drum roll. Flashing wealth or status. Now, here's one. This is ubiquitous because so many guys, particularly guys over 50, a lot of times they have their wallet to stand on or their power. Those are the two big ones. And when those, they really lean on that a lot, and flashing wealth and status. And the guys think, well, if she sees I'm successful, she's going to be impressed. And women want security and stability and material stuff. And I can throw some money around. That's a really good thing. Well, I would think, yeah, that's a good thing, but don't be boring about it. There's a way to demonstrate you've got your act together. And you have some things, yep, and you have some success without telling it.
If you tell me that says insecurity right away. This kind of stuff needs to be noticed. Not you don't tell me about it. And again, I have a really strong opinion there. And I want to maybe preface it by saying that I realize that sometimes I'm a lot different than other women. Like, for example, I hate shopping. So maybe I'm answering for women when women say, no, I like that. Hey, I'd love to be told if I'm sexy. So, again, I don't mean to speak for all women, but you have me on your show today. And I do speak for some, and I'm speaking for myself. So let me just clarify that. But again, wealth and status is another big thing that can really run somebody off right away, because it's like the Texas saying, big hat, no cattle. Mm-hmm. I actually, like, when I see the rolled Rolex and what, it's like, it's an immediate turn off because it's flashy. It says, hey, I have all this. I've never been more impressed than by a man who I knew was really, really wealthy. And he wore Timex. And I thought, that is so understated. I just love that. Speaks to me a lot more than somebody that flashes around their wealth.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. How about with the cars? Because we're out here in Southern California and there's a lot of great cars. And invariably, when I looking at cars on the road, I'm like, wow, another Maserati. And like, wow, I love this Mercedes, 350 SCL or whatever. And mm-hmm. invariably, it's a boomer guy driving his toy. And like, sometimes you see some young guys, but the older guys have the dough. And mm-hmm. what do you think about that? Or what do you hear that other women think if the guy's got the real, the overt car or the red Corvette? I mean, I wouldn't drive around the red Corvette at my age. I'm just that's not my favorite vehicle, but I like a good car, but I'm not a car, flash car person, but some people are. And I think some people like the really flashy hot cars.
That can go either way, because men, let's face it, and a lot of women for that matter, are gearheads. They really do like certain cars, and if you can afford it, buy it. Again, am I necessarily impressed if you've come up with a Maserati? Maybe, there's a little bit more to it than that. Depends on how the man acts, how, does he genuinely like this car, or does he have it to impress? And mm-hmm. that's, the combination, the combination of Maserati and dyed hair that is obvious is that's a no-go. Okay. But come out, in some casual jeans and, you got some gray showing, you're the silver fox. Mm-hmm. That's another story.
Now, when you have a home or someplace That to me, like, what are you going to do? It is what it is. If that's where you live, that's where you live. So if that is there a way that a guy needs to manage that? I know for myself, and I'm not, and I've never been a wealthy person, but I used to have this place down the Jersey Shore. It was right. It was a top floor of a Victorian home and had a spot on view of the ocean. Beautiful. It was great. And every time almost every time I dated women and brought them there, good things happened because of the view or whatever. So to me, I guess there's a sexiness about nature and the ocean, but also having something on the beachfront and all of that, it's a little bit of a turn on, I got to think. Like somebody's thinking, hey, when are we going down? I used to always get like, we're going down the shore this weekend? Can we go down the shore? Or like, yeah. You know, because why not?
I think the home says so much about you, and you should do that exactly, you know, what you want. And it's different than a car, because the car you take out and drive, or the Rolex you take out and wear. And a lot of people do that, and they don't have a home on the beach. They have the car and the Rolex to show off, and it's usually obvious when it is. But the home, absolutely, you know, that is impressive, especially if it's decorated in a way that's, and again, this is me talking, but, you know, warm, inviting, you know, not something that, I don't know, I don't particularly care for the castle look and that kind of opulence, but something that's real, that's down to earth. This is your home. I can afford this. And, you know, yeah, I have no problem with that. At all, especially when you don't tell me what a great home you have. And maybe after dating for a few weeks, you invite me over for dinner. And then oh, wow.
That's good.
You never mentioned this. That would be impressive.
That's cool. I love it. Okay. Special guest on Guys, Guys Radio, return guest, Silke Schwarzkopf, the creator and hostess with the mostest of Second Act TV, the runaway YouTube hit. And I'm always delighted to be on your show, Silke. So let's get back to some of the things that men think that women are going to react to, and doesn't necessarily mean it's in a positive way. So number three, acting cool, too cool to care, acting aloof. Guys think, hey, a little mystery, you know, that's going to make me more attractive.
Again, it depends on how they come off. Does it come off aloof? Like, you know, the 80s disco guy. I mean, but a little mystery, I think, is a trap. Absolutely. You know, just a man who doesn't say much, but projects, that to me is attractive. And I don't know how to describe it, Robert, the difference between, you know, to where you just, I'm, you know, too cool for school, and just, hey, I'm cool because he is.
So it sounds like it's a difference between confidence and arrogance. It's
absolutely
a fine line there, right?
That's a great way to put it. Yeah.
Now, how about the folks that you interview, the ladies on Second Act TV? What's their take on materialism and how much money a guy has? How important is that? You want stability, I would think, but.
Well, yes. Okay. Stability. Absolutely. I want somebody who pays their bills and, you know, at least has a lifestyle that we would both that we want, you know, and I've never been lavish either. So, you know, I wouldn't be comfortable in a lot of those styles. It's not what I want. And when you ask me the ladies, meaning the guests that I have on, you've had some, you know, some of them,
sure.
they would 100% agree with me, because that's one of the reasons they're on all the time, because, you know, we gel in that way. And I've never been one for labels, for, you know, like you said, just display, a grand display of wealth. So I look for people who I'm comfortable with people who feel the same way.
Got it. Okay. Here's one I think a lot of guys suffer from. They kind of run before they walk when it's a new relationship, and that's giving lavish gifts too soon. And I think it's easy also about, you know, you meet for a first date, let's say you met online or something, and you take the woman out to a big lavish dinner. And invariably, a lot of those guys are telling the woman, like, you're the one for me or whatever. And the train moves too quickly. whether it's gifts, dinners, or whatever. What's the, and the guy thinks like, I'm being, you know, I'm generous and I'm serious about you and I'm showing, you know, what I've got and what I've got to give and share. But it's not really the same way in terms of how a woman's going to take that.
Well, again, if that really is his intent, it's just, hey, I really like you and I want to do this. Do I think it's a smart thing to, not smart, but a wise thing to do? No, probably not, because it's a big red flag that this could be love bombing. You know, that's a huge, huge sign of love bombing. But generosity is that's a good thing. You know, that's a really good thing. And I guess what I'm saying is it's just not necessary in the beginning. It raises more questions. Anything lavish, I mean, it raises more questions than it does necessarily, you know, do for you, if you will. And it can raise a lot of questions. Why it's, if it's inappropriate, it's like, what does he want? You know, what am I going to owe? You know, what does he think? I mean, do I owe him something now? Does this mean I've got to sleep with him? Right. I mean, it brings all that to mind.
How about in terms of the generosity? And when we're over 50 and we've had some, you know, we have some tread on the tires in a good way, we have good experience. Who needs to pay for the first date? I always tell guys, you know, just pay for the first date, whether it's coffee, a drink, or a light dinner or something, and then just hopefully things will work out. If you're with somebody who's cool, they're not going to expect you to pay for everything every single time, or, you know, maybe they'll make you dinner or something, or they'll get tickets to a ball game, whatever it is, a good relationship, things kind of even out, and you don't have to keep score. But that first date can be tricky because, you know, sometimes a woman thinks, well, if he's paying, what do I have to give him? Just like you said, do I owe him something? So what should guys do on that first date? I always think like, just offer to pick up the check. I've never been stopped when I was in that situation. Just do it and then don't worry about it. It is what it is.
I absolutely agree. And maybe it's because of the generation that we're from, there's just something about a man picking up the tab. That's just, it's expected in a way that's just manly, in my opinion. This may sound, you know, I don't know, sexist or what, but it's just manly behavior. You know, an answer might be, you know, whoever ask the person out that they should pay, and women now do, hey, you want to, you know, and then even then, if, you know, so, no, I invited you here, I'm getting the bill, the man, you insist on paying. Mm-hmm. Now that's making an impression. That's like, wow, okay, hey, thanks. And there are so many other ways to repay that, you know, and not by sleeping with them or any sexual favors, but this is, again, the way that I've been in my relationships, the way, you know, Paul and I are. I mean, when we go out, he pays for dinner. I think it's embarrassing for me to pick up the check. I feel like that's almost emasculating a man. And I know people disagree, but that's why we're having these conversations, exactly. You know, to hear various opinions. And in this particular case, I'm, I suppose, old fashioned. If it's a business thing or something that's different, or it's like, you know what, Paul, hey, thanks. You know, I really appreciate it, but I really wanted to go here. We invited some of my friends. I'm getting this. But it would be that way, not to where I'm just, oh, here, oh, I'm paying, you know, and he just sits there and people go, okay. I think it's almost emasculating.
Well, I think now and then, if the woman wants to pick up the check, and she's well off or has a good job, mm-hmm. or whatever, right. It's not a bad thing. If the guy's paid the last three and you pick up one, mm-hmm. I mean, that's cool. I mean, it shouldn't be a big deal. It should be, there should be a flow with the finances and what makes sense. Now, if the guy's a billionaire and the woman is a waitress or something, of course he should be paying for everything. Right. But in most cases, there's a little bit, there's some type of, you know, you're closer in income these days. And so hopefully you make it work and it doesn't become an issue. That's the thing to me. The biggest thing is don't make an issue out of it. Right. I remember I dated this one woman about 4 or 5 times. I liked her and everything. And then she never picked up. She wouldn't even, never bought me a drink or coffee or anything. And I actually, this is the only time I ever said something. I said, geez, I'd like it. I think I'm happy to pay for stuff and what happened, but you ever, what's your philosophy on this? And she's like, oh, the guy pays for everything. I said, okay. I said, everything? Yeah. I said, do you bake a cake or something? I'm like, no. She goes, no, I don't cook. You know, just the guy pays. I said, okay. Needless to say, knowing me, that was the last date, because I just thought it was not a generous of heart. And I think that's really the issue, is you should want to do some things for your partner, but it's a little bit old fashioned in a bad way to expect the guy, unless he's a billionaire and you're again, you know, somebody who's struggling, that the guy pays for everything. There should be some type of flow where it feels right.
Oh, I absolutely agree. The thing is with dinner, because it's such a traditional setting that says so much about how people behave, you know, there's manners involved. It's that particular scenario. I do a lot for Paul that is far more valuable than picking up the check here and there remaining in those traditional roles. Mm-hmm. So again, I'm expressing my opinion. I get criticized about it. Others say, no, absolutely, that is right. Let us just maintain some of the traditional roles without taking advantage. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm. And when you get deeper into a relationship, I know, like I'm married and my wife is a great cook, and she's Korean and she loves to cook. And so she just says, what do you feel like eating? I say, what do you feel like making? And whatever she feels like making, she's going to make it good because she feels like making it. And, you know, if I have, like, I really have a craving for something, I'll mention it, but very rarely, because she could just make anything. So invariably, it's like a Korean restaurant in the kitchen where there's like a stack of, you know, for one meal, it's like an incredible amount of dishes and pots and all that. But I just, you know, I pop the earbuds in, put some Stones on or whatever, and get out the like steel wool and I do the dishes. It's like, it is what it is. Yeah. And so what? That's good. Like, she's cooking, I'm cleaning. You know, it works. I don't expect her to do everything, and I'm not going to do everything. A lot of guys I know love to cook, and they're very good cooks. I would be, because I cooked for many years because I was taking care of myself. But if you're with somebody and they love to cook and they're just very inventive and creative, go at it. I love to eat.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No. Yeah. And I love to cook too. Paul actually liked to cook too. So that's not, but yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. No objection there.
Okay. We're talking about things that guys say that they think really mean something to women. And sometimes it's being taken in a different way by the woman. So here's one: sexual innuendos early on. So the guys think, you know, I have to show I'm interested and attracted to her. If I don't, like, give her a little bit of something, she's going to think that, like, you know, I'm not interested in her physically. That can backfire, though.
Yeah, that it, again, it's depends on how it's said. If it's truly I think it should be somewhat humorous, to where you could chuckle at it and not to where it's a smutty thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, sexual innuendos can be a huge turnoff. And in a way, I'm kind of guilty of it, because depending on what, like, I'll say something inappropriate probably sooner than most men would, because sometimes, you know, sometimes it's funny. Mm-hmm. But it definitely can be taken the wrong way. I remember one of the first dates I was on. And he was really nice looking guy. We actually ended up dating for a few months, but he was really in really good shape. We hit it off, and then I don't know how this even came up, but we're talking about him, that somehow it came up that he was a vert or didn't have sex until he was 29. And I don't know, it just came out of my mouth. I said, oh, is that why your arms are so nice? And he goes, it was totally inappropriate, but he ended up taking it funny. But something like it depends on how it's delivered. If it's something that's humorous, that is maybe even not a backhanded compliment, but just, you know, the smutty stuff is
right. Right. And women have a way, a brilliant way of letting guys know, you know, that they're interested. I'll give you two examples. When I had my beach house, a woman said to me, she said, is that where you sleep? And I was like, you know, of course. I said, yes. And the next thing, you know, we're testing out, you know, we're testing out the bet. And another one was, my girlfriend said she bet me $20 I wouldn't sleep with you on the first date.
Funny.
I'm like, I'm like, well, you want to win that bet or what?
No, that's funny. That's funny.
Both of them are very good.
I think that's fine. I think, again, that this is, you know, yeah. Just don't, you know, be respectful while doing
clever.
That, I guess. Clever. Yeah. Clever, but not in a, you know, baby. Right. I mean, that's just
not leering, right?
Yeah.
Icky.
Right.
All right. Right. Here's one, Silke, that I think we all have experienced. Texting, and it's very true of the up and coming generations, if you will, texting all day instead of making real plans. So guys think, well, she'll feel connected if we keep chatting. And, but sometimes women think, like, come on, man, make it happen.
Yeah. No, I, well, it doesn't accomplish anything. I mean, why, in a way, I remember seeing this, and that's almost more what women might do. Like, I just don't know guys like that text all day. And that would be totally annoying to me. I think that it shows almost a bit of desperation, you know, and then if you don't make any plans, well, what does that accomplish?
It's like hanging out. There's a lot of hanging out. And the guys, nowadays they've been kind of trained to be lazy where, you know, you can stay at home and your tidy whities and meet all these really terrific women where in the past, you know, my generation, hi, my name is Bob. You want to dance, you know, or something? It was like, you had to put yourself out there one way and another, but I think it makes you better to have to do that because that's life. You know, you have to put yourself out there. If you want to really make a connection, you have to do it face to face. It's interesting. Another quick anecdote. When I was first met my wife, we met online. I had all these rules. I was like, quick, you know, if I get a wink or I write first, quick, back and forth, I send my number. And usually that means like, I'm sending my number, so I'm not creepy. And at least this way, the woman can call if she wants to do that. But invariably, the woman would send me her number because she wanted me to pick up the phone. So I did that with my wife. I didn't know she was on a 3-day pass or something on Match. And she said, why do we have to have a phone call? And I always thought, you know, when you hear somebody's voice, there's a different type of energetic exchange.
I agree.
And it could like be wrong, like a couple, you know, the. And so she said, no, phone call, let's just meet. I was like, well, I have in my head, I was like, I have these rules. This is one of, this is my, I do this back and forth. And then we you know, we have a phone call. And then if that works, and she said, no, that's not phone. Let's just meet. And I said, well, you know what? Maybe that's a good idea because I just made up these rules. So I can break them. So I broke them. We met and I was like delighted because usually my go-to was when you're dealing with online dating, I put the 85% on it. So if you get 85% of what's been promised from the person's profile, whatever, that's a win. If you get beyond that, that's really good. When I met my wife, honestly, I got 110%. I'm like, wow, this is fantastic. And well, here we are, we're married. So it can work, but it's so funny that, you know, the texting and the process, we set up all these rules and everything and the interview questions and all of that. It's not necessary. Just have a conversation, have some fun.
No, I agree. I that's really funny that Uni did that. And I think maybe the dynamic of it is different when a woman says that. I would not advise women to just, if a man said that, you know, oh no, we don't need just, let's just meet. I wouldn't have. I would. Now, you know what?
I hear you. Yeah.
I want to talk with you first. I want to hear like what you said. And really, I didn't ever meet anybody until we talked a few times because I know right away whether there's a rapport or not. You know, I'm not saying talking for 8 weeks, but, you know, maybe a call here. Okay. Well, no. Okay. Fine. But I want to hear that voice. And I also think that's, I don't know, it's important. I would question, Why doesn't he want to talk to me first?
Exactly.
That would be a little strange to me.
It was. It was strange to me. And I said, you know, this could be, you know, this is, I could look at it as refreshing and I can just, and then I said, why did I make these rules? They're my rules. So I can do whatever I want with them. And I said, okay, you know what? She seems nice. She contacted me and like, okay, let's see what happens. So you take a chance. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. I mean, I didn't take it too right. seriously. And it worked out. So that's a good thing. Now, I think overall, Silke, here's kind of one of, maybe it's the biggest one. When guys try to impress instead of connect, you know, guys think, and sometimes they're put into a position where you go out on one of these dates and you're asked a lot of questions and the woman mm-hmm. or doesn't really share a lot. They're trying to feel you out and they're like judging you the whole time, not necessarily on purpose, but they're judging you and it puts you in a tough position. So you end up kind of listing your accomplishments instead of making that connection.
Mm-hmm. If you're bragging, that's such an immediate turnoff also. And I think sometimes for both men and women, you know, if somebody is just talking about themselves, it could be out of nervousness if it's a, you know, if it's a first date. And so there's some forgiveness there. But if somebody does not, you know, get back with you or ask anything, do you need to break?
No.
Okay. And if somebody, you know, doesn't stop to ever ask you anything, it has to go back and forth. Like you said, make that connection. And incidentally, when the more questions you ask, the more interesting you actually become. Because if you show interest in me, you know, and ask me about myself, now I'm all of a sudden I'm more drawn to you because you're showing interest. And that's a lot of people need to learn that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Makes perfect sense. Okay, why don't we have some fun and flip it around and like, let's talk a little bit about things that women think guys like, but sometimes men might not necessarily feel the same way. And these misconceptions can quietly push guys away. So let me try the first one here. For women, trying to look perfect all the time, overthinking.
Yeah, a lot of women do that, and I do to some extent. I'm a more casual person, so I don't do the high heels and dresses and all that. But I do. I do that, and I think that men put more value on that than they actually do. I mean, I've learned that a lot of times, you know, Paul will not, they don't notice that. the little things that we do where we, you know, feel good about ourselves, they actually don't get noticed. I think I'd have to ask a man that. But it gives you confidence. You know, you just got the eyelashes perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, I look good. You would never know that I worked, you know, how long I worked on the eyelash.
Right.
Yeah,
so. Of course. Yeah, but I wouldn't know what went into it. I would just know the final product and connect with it. So, okay, here's one that I think is really very, very true. And that is this, having the long list mm-hmm. of dating requirements. Now, if you're over 50, I find, and I don't mean this to be said in a mean way, that kind of the longer the list, the longer you're going to be single, because mm-hmm. you have to, at a certain point, prioritize, okay, here's three must-haves.
They do, and they think that shows some sort of, you know, that they have standards or something. I've heard that, and it's a huge mistake. You know, long lists will keep you single. we've said that because nobody can really, you know, there's no perfection. You're never going to achieve it. Your expectations are always going to be met with disappointment. And the men feel like that they're in an interview, or anybody would feel like they're in an interview. I've never had a man actually do that to me. I think it is a female thing. We tend to want to check off the boxes, and it's not a good thing.
Yeah, it can backfire if it's too long. Mm-hmm. Playing hard to get.
Well, I think to what extent, I would have to say, because I think there absolutely is, you know, if you're like available and you're always there and he doesn't have to put anything into it, then a little mystery or a little, hey, you know, it, yeah, I think that the men are attracted to that or it ups their interest, you know, but just
the,
hunt, being,
the hunting, right? The whole like hunting.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, how much should you put into that to be hunted? You know, that's the degree to which you do that, I think, is where it becomes a turn off. And but I would advise or against, you know, just being available, you know, and would show them that I like them. Right. And that's something I did in the beginning. And believe me, it backfired every time. It's like, whoa, get back.
Yeah, no, that you're right. That happens. A guy will think, mm-hmm. like, okay, she's too available. Well, you mm-hmm. know, what's wrong with her? And, yeah. You know, I think the women need to keep guys kind of on point, at least mm-hmm. paying attention, if you will. Mm-hmm. How about this one? Critiquing or correcting him?
Sometimes, like what you said, when you say it the way you did, that women, you know, are just trying to make it better. It sounds like that's such BS. And, but it truly is. Like, I'm thinking if I gave feedback or something, it was from a good place and it was annoying. You know, once I realized what I was doing, once that was pointed out to me, especially during the show, as I have more and more interviews and we get comments and we get this, like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. And how annoying that must be. You know, it's nobody wants to be criticized. There's, you know, criticism is one of the key killers of any relationship. And at the beginning, I think it's a huge red flag.
Okay, Silke, here's another good one for you. Talking too much about feelings too soon.
I can't even really identify with that, to be perfectly honest, to start about feelings too early. It's yes, men are very uncomfortable with that. If you know, depending again on how it's presented, I think that, like, again, what some of the mistakes I made that might go towards that is sharing too much, that show too much interest, that shows too much interest right up front. And that kind of borders on that. But yeah, it anything with feelings can be, I mean, it's just a turnoff to men, mm-hmm. or oh, yeah. So they say. And that's certainly, you know, what, I mean, to this day, Paul, you can't, it's almost impossible for some men to talk about feelings. It becomes a joke, yeah. You know, when we even try.
That's hilarious. Okay. Last one, being, and you kind of alluded to this earlier, Silke, being available 24/7 to show that you're loyal. And women think, mm-hmm. see, I'm reliable and I'm really invested in the relationship. But guys might think, like, why is she, doesn't she have anything else to do? I mean, she's too available, and that's putting pressure on me to, like, occupy her time, and I have stuff to do. And mm-hmm. it just, the guys will start thinking then.
Yep. I was that woman. I was that woman until I realized that's what I was doing, and really what kind of a turnoff, you know, that can be. If I had plans with my girlfriends and then he called because, I would cancel on them. I would be available. I was available and that did not work out ever. I mean, ran short.
How did you learn your lesson on that? And how did you turn it around?
Honestly, after I was dating, like, there was three guys I dated in a row, each of whom I liked, I saw potential there. And it didn't last long. And I was totally available to them. Totally available. And I did things that were totally inappropriate in terms of supporting their life. And it was like, wow, what, you know, what, doesn't she have anything better to do? Like, one guy was a writer. He asked me, he knew I'm an editor. And then, God, I'd love to have your opinion on my book. You know, I'm about to give it to my editor. And he gave me the transcript. I edited the damn thing. I rewrote parts of it. It's totally inappropriate. And you know, like 2 weeks after that, we were done. And a couple other things that were
Did he like your edits?
He did like the edits, and his editor liked the edits. Because I asked him, I said, what did your editing app say? He goes, yeah, he said exactly what you said. I said, okay. But it was not my place to do that, especially you know, when we're trying to make a connection on a romantic level. Mm-hmm. But it was stuff like that. And then really having, like, my girlfriends pointed out to me, because why are you always so available? You know, you could say no to that. Mm-hmm. And then I thought about it, and I said, well, once I learned that, it changed.
And you don't want to play games, but you don't, you know, there's a fine line between, you know, you're available, but you want to say, mm-hmm. I'm not available, just to say I'm not available. And then how does that help? So you have to kind of be smart about it, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Great conversation. I think we covered a lot, and a lot of these topics are so funny and so common, regardless of age. Silke, what's your kind of final thoughts on the whole thing in terms of, like, guys thinking something's going to come across one way and yet it comes across another, and vice versa, where women think one thing and, like, no, guys are like, thumbs down. How do we approach that, the differences?
Well, just understand that there are differences, that, you know, and learn about what those differences are in communication style. There's really no easy answers. I mean, the stuff that I learned just by doing this show is, and I learn something new every day. I swear to God, I learn something new every day, or I'll have an aha moment where I say, oh my God, that was me, that this is what I did. And people who don't have that, you know, like you and I do, where we're constantly doing research and doing stuff. Yeah. You almost have to, you know, read some books, read articles. But if something isn't working in your love life and you keep making the same mistakes, exactly, then figure out what that is. And you just have to take the impetus to do so.
Yeah. Silke Schwarzkopf, creator, host, superstar, hostess with the most of Second Act TV, one of the hottest shows on YouTube. Catch me on there. I think we're up to almost 2 million views together, and a lot more to come. It's amazing. And we have so much fun as we did today. So thank you so much, Silke, for being on Guys Radio, and all the best. And I'll see you on the flip side on Second Act TV soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Robert.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, what a fascinating and hopefully helpful conversation with my special guest and good buddy, Silke Schwarzkopf, right here on Guys Radio. You know, we talked about some of the misconceptions that people have when they're dating and trying to get back out there in the marketplace. You have to find something that's authentically impressed about the woman, and maybe you bring that up, they see that you're a sensitive guy in a good way, and you're also paying attention. And for women, I think they'd have to stop being too hard on themselves and too overcritical on themselves and also about their potential partners, because guys are kind of, they are who they are. So just be aware of that. Be yourself, have fun, and get out there. And if you're single over 50 and you're interested in dating, get out there and date, because you got to be in it to win it. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.